28 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. Ladies, germs, gentlemen, pickpockets, thugs, thieves, barflies, pimps, hoes. Welcome to this, the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. And the whimsy begins now. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. And we thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. And everybody's stoned. It's a 503-733-2970. 503-733, not really. We're high on life. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email today and perhaps communicate with us in electronic fashion, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right. In a moment, we're going to summon Scotty J to the studio.
Poor Scotty J. Scotty's
walking around covered in flop sweat.
He's totally freaking out.
I don't see what he's afraid of. There's more to be afraid of when you're playing for rooms of drunk people at these record hops that he does.
These record hops.
Whatever they call them.
When you're playing at one of these juke joints, and the kids are, I don't even know what to say.
Kicking their hips in a threatening manner.
What with all the poodle skirting and whatnot. It's 503-733.
And when they're mad because you don't have the hustle, they're trying to turn the crowd against you.
I was to understand you would be playing Convoy multiple times. Man, can I just tell you this, that I heard Convoy yesterday on one of our sister stations. And I'm unclear. Here's what a weird time it is in the radio industry. I heard Convoy being played yesterday on the radio, which is, I mean, that's weird enough right there. I can't remember the last year or era in which I would have heard Convoy played. I mean, it's 2006, and so you got like the weird, you know, like the Jack format, or, you know, the we play everything. That we've got that, and so those guys play Convoy. But we don't have one of those formats here in the building. We are literally, both figuratively and literally, we are between a country station and I don't even know what K-Hits is.
It's the 60s and 70s, I believe.
But what is the name of that format? I know we've now entered the shop talk section of the program earlier than normal, but
Betty?
I have nothing. Because it's not oldies.
60s adult contemporary?
Maybe, except it's not just 60s. It's not just 70s. It's all very confusing. Anyway, so I was walking to the lobby yesterday. It was yesterday evening sometime. And I walked through and I heard the telltale sounds of C.W. McCall. I can't really do his voice. But yeah, I walk through and you hear that trademark baritone, that, you know, and a Jimmy Holden Hogs. And it's like, I look up at the ceiling and just wondering where the song is coming from. And the way that the speaker system is set up in the lobby, I could not discern from which station the song was coming. But I guess it's conceivable the couple would be playing it, because they do this couple on shuffle thing at night where it's like, I mean, I'm not much of a fan of so-called modern day country. But they do roll out some weird stuff every now and again. And I mean weird in a good way. We've gotten completely off the track here, but I was wandering through the hallway the other day and they were playing David Allan Coe, which is bizarre, which is great. But it's not the sort of thing that you would really picture a couple playing, and yet they were. But K-Hits plays, man, they throw some left turns at you every now and again, because they do that thing that 45's at 45, which is really great, where they play literally an actual 45 record. You can hear them queuing it up. You can hear the needle drop. I know they had to go hunt up a bunch of those little yellow swastika things that you put in the middle of a 45 so it'll fit on the needle.
Yep.
Whatever those things are called, the adapter. But they played, do you remember that group Firefall?
You Were the Woman.
Yeah.
With an 8-9 second intro.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's talk it up.
Don Geronimo is into the studio. But they played that the other day off vinyl. It was so great. So, I mean, it's not like out of the question that they could be playing Convoy. We all know Convoy, don't we? Sarah?
She wasn't born.
Come on. But even you have to know Convoy.
No, this is before she was even on the
show. How does it go?
How does it go? If you have to ask how it goes, and
we
the answer is no.
Convoy. Rolling on through the night.
We got
Come on, join our convoy. Living in our sight. Convoy.
Man, my dad thought that was the best song ever in like a completely non-ironic fashion. My dad had a shirt that just had like a really bad screen print that just had a picture of a semi on it, and then across the bottom in some horrible 70s font, which I believe is called the Big Time font, it said, We got a big old convoy.
Right across the beer gut?
Right across the beer gut. My dad, who never drove, my dad, who did not drive a truck in any way, shape, or form. Hello. It is now 6 minutes after the hour. We've done nothing.
Are we allowed to talk about what happened to us this morning?
Do you mean what with the beating and so forth?
No, I mean what with our special visitor. We don't get to talk about
that. Let's do the intro to the show first. Then we'll come back, because I got to try to stick to the matrix in some way here.
Go for it.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello. How are you, Chris?
Excellent. And you?
Chris, I am dandy. Are you ready to transcribe, then, the things that we will be forward promoting and attempting to get to on today's program?
I am.
All right. So Chris is going to take note of the things that we guarantees. At the end of the program, we will welcome Chris back to the radio airwaves. He will then tally up the things gotten to and not. And I will then owe a push-up to the Hive for each item not gotten to. And how many push-ups do I currently owe?
Well, that's a bit of a sticky point there.
And why is that?
Well, yesterday I quoted you at 25.
You quoted me at 25, like you're from Charles Schwab, okay?
Based on the fact that you and Tim argued that the Clown Watch was suggested, not guaranteed.
Well, because I never said I was going to get to it. I only said, no, here's the thing. Here's what I said yesterday, you sons of bitches. Here's what I said, is that I was heard to say yesterday, to the best of my recollection, I was heard to say that, you know, I really ought to get to this Clown Watch. Now, that is simply an observation. It doesn't sound like that's a sort of a promise. Doesn't sound like I'm guaranteeing that I'm that it's going to be gotten to. That is simply an observation that it is a thing that really, in an ideal world, I would get to.
Do you happen to have that email I sent you last night, Rick?
Hard to say. I get a ton of email, and it's hard to say. What did it say?
It was Clown Watch was the subject, and there was an attached MP3 with your actual statement from yesterday.
So you excerpted it out. What did I say yesterday?
You said, we've got a Clown Watch. We've got to get to this Clown Watch. We were supposed to get to it like Thursday, Friday.
Okay, well, that's still not me saying I'm going to get to it. That's
anyway,
only me saying it's a thing that is of great concern to me, and it's flagged as a priority item.
Well, they're all flagged as priority.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If it's flagged as a priority, that means it's on a list of things
okay,
to do.
Okay, look, well, why don't you
since
just...
Since you didn't say you weren't going to get to it, you didn't say you would. I quoted you at 25. We'll stick with 25. The people are owed one extra push-up. And because I fell down on my job because I did not assert myself appropriately at the end of yesterday's show, I will do the push-up.
Thank you. So would you like to do it now, sir?
Well, I'll wait till the listener party.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, here's what we're going to get to today. Today, now, Tim had the funniest statement today. Tim used the following phrase about 10 minutes ago. Tim said, prepare to excerpt. I've got a big black bag and it's all full of clown news. So there you go.
True.
That's sort of like
I bring it home with me every day.
If James Brown was saying that, backed by some sort of funk bed, you'd think that that was the greatest, most soulful statement ever. Like if that was a Parliament funkadelic line, I got a big black bag and it's all full of clown news. That'd be fantastic.
But I can see, out of national security concerns, that my bag would be searched upon entering the Max someday, and all the pull-out are clown watches. I would be brought to a back room.
The man was apprehended with a big black bag all full of clown news. Authorities have... All right, so how many clown watches do we have, Tim?
There are at least a half dozen, if not more.
All right, so
all
today...
All promises broken.
Today... Everyone
a broken promise. This is the broken clown promise land.
That doesn't make any goddamn sense. But it's genius. It's a broken clown promise land.
That'll be the new Toby Keith single.
Okay. That's where the guy who played Bozo went when he died. Broken clown promise land.
Yeah.
That's like how at my vet, they don't say your pet died. They say your pet went to the rainbow bridge. And you got this card in the mail that shows a rainbow and like... You know, and like a dozen cats and a hedgehog all scampering out. It's a greetings from the Rainbow Bridge.
They also have an internet site for that, for a memorial service.
At the Rainbow Bridge, conveniently located next to a landfill. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, so we will get to a clown watch today. I'm not going to tell you how many stories we'll get to inside of it. That's up for discussion, I think. Clown watch coming up today. Mel Gibson news. And which is just an excuse to play back yesterday's sound bites. Let's see. Scotty will be downtown today. Scotty will be downtown later on this hour, demanding with bullhorn and signs to see the cruise baby, which, as Leah Remini has already said, it is apparently of regulation size. So Scotty will be downtown here in a short while.
How good are those signs?
They're fantastic. Sarah made those, by the way. The best one is the one that's got Cuba Gooding Jr. shirt open, showing his chest. He's crying, and he's got his hand out as though he is angrily, passionately beseeching. And it says in huge green fluorescent letters, "Show me the baby!" Which is, I sat and giggled like an idiot at that last night. 3, 4, 5 times, I just looked over and just started laughing.
I was just walking down the hall with my Free Katie sign, and I was laughing to myself.
That's what I'm talking about. And we'll also get to the Week in Geek today. CNN radio correspondents, Gary Baumgarten, and Lisa Goddard, we believe.
What is it? Do
we
know?
Okay, well, we believe. All right, Chris, have you got all that?
Yes, I do. I have, and now these are all things you are betting push-ups on, correct?
Yes, fine.
A clown watch of indeterminate numbers.
Yes, thank you.
Mel Gibson News, Scotty Downtown, The Week in Geek, Gary Baumgarten, and yes on Lisa Goddard.
Yeah, sure. Sure, fine.
Oh, okay, so those six items.
Yes, and we will check in with you at the end of the program to find out what we have gotten to, what we have not gotten to.
Will do.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Talk to you then.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Chris, who has agreed to do one of my push-ups at the next listener party. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon and Tim Riley, who's working on the following stories today.
Florida politicians are warning former Cubans in South Florida not to go back to their country yet. W has plans for Cuba. He wants them to have health care coverage just like ours. Mel Gibson's Holocaust miniseries gets the axe from ABC. And Tori Spelling dumps her designer duds on eBay.
Fantastic. Aww. All right. She's on the cover of... what is it? She's on the cover? Is it The People this week? The People.
Yeah, mom gave her $200,000.
Yeah. I know your dad is richer than God, but here you go. Buy yourself a purse or something. We're done. All right. So all of that's coming up. It's 50.
Christopher McCallum's on the front page of the living section.
That is true. But she's misidentified. Did you know that? They said that she's the person on the left, and she, in reality, is the person on the right. There you go.
Attention, that's true,
attention,
yes.
Stalkers. All right. 503-733-2970. Well, this bed's about to lapse. Should we just play the news sounder and then bring in Scotty?
That would be a wonderful idea.
We should tell the people about our special visitor this morning.
All right. Well, let's play the sounder here. Let's go to the city desk, because this bed's going to end.
The Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
And then I read the intro.
Yes.
Okay. From higher down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Then what happens?
All right, well, see, I'm...
I don't understand what he's talking about.
I was all concerned because doesn't that bed end?
I already reloaded it.
Oh, well, see, how am I to know that? You're over there. I'm over... Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Well, at least we've got power today.
We do.
The power went off again yesterday afternoon, by the way, right after we were done with the program. So, hey, where did that bitchin' flashlight go?
Oh, I brought it back.
All right, fantastic. All right, it is 503-733-2970.
Now we can just sit here in silence.
No, I didn't want to get to that thing because sometimes there's a little peek behind the curtain. Sometimes we play that Dream Theater bed at the top of the hour, and then it goes into that Crystal Method bed, which loops, and sometimes Sarah will reload it so it just goes over and over and over, and then sometimes you don't.
Like yesterday, when I was drinking my coffee.
Sometimes you don't, where you look over and you're like, oh, 10 seconds, and I have to wrap everything up with a nice red bow and be done. So
that's exhausting.
All right. Well, let's summon now. Wait, hold on. Let's summon now to the Rick Emerson studio.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount. Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hello, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Really good, Rick. How's it going? Hi, right. Sarah. Tim.
Hi, Scotty.
We understand you're petrified.
This is fantastic. Can I just say that you are covered in sweat from head to toe today?
Yes, and there's a reason for that. It's having to carry all the stuff 20,000 blocks, and that's the only
now. That's the only
whatsoever.
Reason. That's the only reason you're nervous.
That's correct.
You're not nervous about people pelting you with things.
Oh heck, no! That happens all the time.
All right, so this.
I mean, you make a living listening to intoxicated boomers screaming about playing Daddy's Little Girl at weddings, don't you?
All the time.
Dear Mr. Jesus. All right, so we should give a recap here. So here's where we are. So we had been. And as I was telling this woman this morning about this, actually, that we are as low as common denominator as they come. And so, like everyone else, we've just become so enraptured in and enveloped by, or enraptured by and enveloped in, all of this Tom Cruise news that we cannot possibly use, including the persistent non-appearance of this baby, so-called, which Leah Remini claims to have seen, and which she said is of regulation size. Who's the only other person? Jada Pinkett Smith. Anyway, and so we had this idea, it was like last Thursday, last Friday, that you should just go downtown. Because, see, here's the thing, is because there's no Top Gun Museum. There's no Tom Cruise. He doesn't have a house or anything. And so, but there's the what's it? There's the celebrity. Is it a center or a Centra? Do we know?
It's a Centra.
A Centra? It's like theater or theatre.
And so why is it the celebrity one?
I don't understand. I'm unclear about that as well. Does anybody know?
I do not know that, but Tom Cruise is a celebrity, right?
So it attracts people there. I mean, it's like the Hollywood Theater in the Hollywood neighborhood. Well, you're not in Hollywood. It's simply a sign on a theater.
Okay. It's like when they say New York style on something. As I think, I forget who it was that pointed this out, but whenever something is labeled as da-da-da-da style, it means that it's not actually whatever it's claiming to. Home style, not homemade. New York style, not from New York. Celebrity Center, no celebrities. So I'm unclear. I think that the Scientology, the Celebrity Center, it must just be for Nancy Cartwright. That's pretty much it, right? I mean, isn't she the only Portland Scientologist of note?
I think so.
Anyone? Isn't this the sort of thing that you normally would have Wikipedia'd like an hour ago and you would have printed out a ream of paper for us?
Right, but I was busy taping the sign together with
the We should talk about the sign. But we were talking actually with the Scientology, with a woman from there this morning. I will not identify her. She probably doesn't want me to point her out. But we were talking with the Scientology woman this morning who I think she was under the impression that we were going to go storming in or something. I think she thought we were going to be, because apparently here's what had happened to the best of my knowledge. And I'm only piecing this together from my conversation with her, from what I understand, I believe that someone went to the Scientology Center yesterday and walked in. This is from talking to her. This is what I understand. Somebody went there and was like, you know that their Rick Emerson program, you know, they're troublemakers. They're gonna charge in like so many stormtroopers and demand knowledge of the baby. They're going to be as though you were going to be going in with your jackboots and whatnot, demanded to have Suri presented to us. So I talked to her this morning. I was at great pains to note that we are not going to be entering the Celebrity Center. You're just going to be across the street.
But Scotty is actually a celebrity, so probably the first one who's been in the presence of the center.
Yeah, probably. So, but I was at great pains to note that you're actually going to be across the street, but you do have bitchin' signs. And so let's talk about those for a second. So you've got the Cuba Gooding Jr. sign, which is fantastic, which we got to get a photo of. So you've got the show me the baby sign. You've got the, what is the one that says about Leah Remini?
Oh, Leah said it's regulation, show the baby to the nation.
Yeah, it's fantastic. There's the Free Katie sign, and then there's the other one.
Show me the baby, right?
Right, but there's the fourth one that I'm forgetting.
We want the news, show us Suri Cruz.
Show us Suri Cruz.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, so there you go.
So there's a sample of some chants for you, too.
All right, so you will be corralling listeners.
Yes, and we'll be on the south side of Salmon and Broadway, across the street from the Centra.
The Centra. So, all right, now you've got your cell phone.
Yes.
You've got all that. And so your whole thing is just that you just don't want to walk?
Well, it'll be the first time in, like, you know, the last 10 years I'm older.
It's good for you. I'm even older, too, and I walk from the max stop.
Well, seriously.
It's robust and brisk.
And I mean, and this is the other thing. And now, you're not saying what you said this morning, here's what Scotty said to me. It's like, well, I'm all nervous. It's just going to be kind of embarrassing, which is retarded when you think about the fact that you have chosen this as a career. You have chosen the wrong job path if you are easily embarrassed. And how much more embarrassing could this be than playing the chicken dance for a bunch of 75-year-old celebrators at a wedding?
Good point.
I mean, seriously. I mean, how many times have you had to play Ice Ice Baby for some morbidly obese white people at a bar mitzvah?
With a group of people who have, well, if you total it all, about 100 years of embarrassments from firings of all sorts, bad radio stations.
Seriously,
that doesn't care.
I mean,
the mistakes published for everyone to read.
Seriously, have you ever listened to the radio program that you work on? Every failing, every misstep we've ever taken on this program has been documented. So
you can't lie and say you've never been fired. It's just impossible with all the documentation.
No one would. First of all, if in radio you said that you had never been fired, they would have assumed that either A, you had only just recently entered the profession, or B, that you were a congenital liar. So, you know.
I remember you telling me that when I first got into radio. You're like, you're not really in radio until you get fired.
Well, that's why Matt Peterson continues to not be a real radio person, because he's never been fired. So, and so in our opinion, he is still not a real, our former producer, F. Matt Peterson, he is still not an actual radio employee, because he's never actually been fired from anywhere. Because he's sort of...
He keeps getting rehired everywhere.
He was born with a silver spoon in all of his orifices, I believe. And so, at no point has he ever been asked to leave the building. He's never been escorted out by security. He's never had to calculate how many months worth of rent his severance will take care of. So he's never said to himself, man, I got to go find myself a girlfriend with a job. So at no time has he ever had to do any of those things.
Looks like it's back to 7-Eleven for me.
Yes. So are you ready to walk down there?
I am.
All right. Okay, so
looking forward to it.
You will be you'll be across the street there, and you have yourself and call us when you get down there.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. There you go. Scotty J on the way.
Good luck, Scotty.
All right. And so Kristen Bowie, we're going to thank her, Kristen Bowie, for coming in and screening the calls today. Let's get to, hello, Roy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you today?
Yes, Rick. I just wanted to give Tim a little bit of a bad time. I know that he knows that I love all you guys, but, you know, when he was talking about the Hollywood Theater sign, the reason why it's called the Hollywood Theater is because it's in the Hollywood District. There is districts, and that's why it's called the Hollywood Theater.
But it's not Hollywood.
That doesn't mean that you have to be.
Where's the Walk of Fame?
Yes, it's a fascinating phone call. Glad we've taken time out of our schedule. No, I'm aware of that, sir.
Well, it's like St. John's. I know St. John has never walked there himself.
I wanted to needle Tim a little bit.
Well, I feel better that you did.
And the show is better because of it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you, Roy.
Yes, bye-bye.
Okay, there you go now. Roy is one of those names you just don't hear a lot anymore. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Oh, we're doing this? Well, here we go.
It's now 22 minutes after the hour. Maybe we should start the news hour.
Well, as far as we know, Castro is still alive, and there's no way to kill this guy, so don't even think about it.
Man, no, you know, I got to tell you, we figured this out at one point on the program, because we're big fans.
Of dictators.
How shall I phrase
it? Batista?
anybody who brutally crushes dissent and imprisons dissidents.
Don't be a Marcos.
We're big fans. Mm-hmm. No, you got to say, whatever faults one may have with his political outlook or the way in which he embraces and tolerates those who disagree with him.
Oh, trips over chairs.
One must grant that Fidel Castro has all kinds of style, and plus, you got to give it up for this. You do have to give it up to a guy who has outlasted... God, when did he take over Cuba?
59.
So how many presidents is that? Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon...
Carter?
Ford, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush. Clinton. So that's what, 9, 10 presidents? He's outlasted 10 presidents. I'm amazed that we were able to do that just now, by the way.
That was quick, wasn't
Seeing
it?
As how even the simplest of mathematical equations is something that outstrips our abilities on a daily
Many
basis.
Many summers of summer school with nuns.
I learn faster! You got to admire a guy, though, who has outlasted 10 presidents, each of whom has vowed to remove him during their administration. Every one of those presidents is like, this will be the year when we finally get that island. What did Kennedy call it? That prison island or what did he call it? There was something during the Cuban blockade when Kennedy called it like an island prison or a prison, an imprisoned island or something like that. Every president's like, this is the time. This is the year. Castro's going to go. And, man, Castro just waves and smiles and waits for the president to get booted out of office. Nobody's ever been able to screw with that guy at all. So he'll never die. Him and Pat Buchanan are going to end up running the whole world.
It's because 57 Chevys last forever.
Okay. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, here's what happened. He had intestinal bleeding.
Okay.
And ulcers are a common cause of bleeding in the stomach and upper intestine. Stress used to be blamed, but is no longer believed to be caused. What would he be stressed out about, really? Who's going to try to take him over successfully? So all these Cubans are saying, hey, let's go back. Of course, they really don't want them anyway. In Miami, their mayor, Manuel Diaz, looks at the impact of Raul, who's the mean evil twin, well, not twin, but the mean brother, coming to power, at least on a temporary basis.
I've lost track so long ago of what we're talking
many
about.
Many would argue that Raul, in many cases, may even be worse than his brother Fidel. But many here do not believe and are very skeptical as to whether or not Raul can maintain the same clutches of power that Fidel has maintained for all these years.
Who even knew he had a brother? Do you ever do this? Do you ever, like, you read that there's a sibling of some celebrity, and it just seems unnatural somehow? You just, like, it doesn't, there's certain people that you just don't picture them having brothers. Mm-hmm. Like, speaking of Tom Cruise, like, I remember when Tom Cruise had a sister. And Tom Cruise just sort of seems like he came off an assembly line somewhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He seems like he came off that same assembly line that created Haley Joel Osment and AI. You know, he's just sort of a clean, plastic, molded, humanoid-looking figure that's bipedal. You don't really picture him having a mommy and daddy Cruise. So it is with Fidel Castro. It's hard to imagine family reunions or anything with that guy.
So all these politicians are warning the Cubans living in Florida don't even think about going back to Cuba yet.
One of the things that we've got to tell our community in English and in Spanish, and it's been my mission tonight to do so, is that anyone who is thinking of getting on his boat and traveling to Cuba to see firsthand what the situation is there, or to even contemplate picking up their relatives, that would be a very unwise move.
I quit listening about halfway.
Meanwhile, Tori Spelling is selling all her stuff on eBay.
Fantastic.
She's also registered for close to $40,000 worth of baby goodies and hopes to furnish her nursery. Of course,
I wasn't even aware that she was pregnant. When did this happen?
That's a good time or bad time to lose all your money.
Seriously.
Anyway.
And who is she impregnated by?
Dean McDermott, who she claims is very sweet.
Okay. Well, he would have to be.
He's registered tens of things, including furniture. Meanwhile, apparently, she's arguing with her mother, Candy, over the amount she was left in the will.
Candy.
Reportedly less than $1 million out of an estimated $300 million fortune.
Now, is she Aaron Spelling's real daughter? I mean, biological?
Yes, I believe so.
And so is Candy Spelling...
And Randy.
Candy and Randy. is Candy Spelling her biological mother?
I believe so.
Well, that's... Normally, you only... See, here's when you normally see this.
Because they're rich and usually they don't do such things.
I'm saying normally, don't you see this with a stepmother?
Maybe she's not actually his real daughter.
Does anybody
know?
Well, I mean...
Well, we never asked for a DNA test.
I'm not...
They look alike, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't... This may seem hard to believe, but I don't really closely follow the biological imperatives of the Spelling family. So all I'm saying is that's sort of a well-established dynamic where the dad and there's the mom and the dad. They have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The dad becomes obscenely rich and famous, ditches the mom.
Lives at the other end of the house.
Yes. For the most part. Like my grandparents.
Didn't meet once a week for martinis.
Like my grandparents. Let me just tell you, my grandparents who were like this hideous ramshackle version of the Spellings. I've told this story before. My grandparents who lived in Markham and then Malala and then Silverton. So all these tiny little hick towns around here. But my grandparents had the best house. It was like this farmhouse. And they literally, they didn't sleep together, didn't spend any time together, hated one another, too old and poor to like really divorce and move on again. Like what bustling new life are you going to get when you're 68 and have no teeth, you know? But, like, my grandparents literally had their bedrooms, their living area, their little tiny black and white Motorola televisions in opposite ends of the house as far away from one another as they could possibly get. And really, the only time they would ever come into contact is if they had to pass each other in the hallway on the way to the bathroom or when they were at our house on Thanksgiving getting loaded up on Jack Daniels. That's it, man. But sometimes you'll see where the dad gets rich and famous, boots the mom, marries the new mom, you know, the stepmom. And then, of course, the stepmom and the daughter always hate each other. It just goes without saying. And then when the dad kicks it, then that's when the huge tussle ensues, over all his belongings. So, all right. What time is it?
12:29.
And this is Lisa Goddard. Mm-hmm. So she's in Damascus. No, she's in Jerusalem again.
In Jerusalem.
So we should probably do this. We should do this. Just go late.
Shedda Doherty is distraught about a report that she may have had drastic plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's on the cover of Us Weekly.
Mm-hmm. It's a big story. Bigger than Castro.
Isn't that... one of her bosoms is uneven? Or is that Paula Abdul? Paula Abdul apparently has bosom that's...
Well, Doherty has apparently burst into tears. So upset by the report that production on her show Breaking Up with Sharon Doherty had to be halted because she sobbed uncontrollably.
I didn't even know that she had tear ducts. I figured that she would just sort of, figured her face would fall apart if she tried to cry.
It's embarrassing and humiliating, she sobbed.
Well, you know what else is embarrassing and humiliating? Those weird, picket fence teeth of hers that are all spotty. Let's welcome, on that note, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, a woman who is shamed and horrified by the lowest common denominator discussion taking place here, Lisa Goddard in Israel. How are you, Lisa?
Hello. Definitely confused. I'll say that I am definitely confused.
That was like a full-on Mrs. Doubtfire hello you just gave there. That was a hello. That was...
Hello. I've been working on it.
All right. We've all gone a little wacky. You are probably, you got the short-timer syndrome right now, though, because you're getting ready to hit a plane, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I can't say I'm drinking the margaritas yet, but I can start seeing them in my future very soon.
Fantastic.
I leave in the morning.
Now, this is, you have been, you've been back in Israel for, in Disneyland for a few days. You've been gone, from the States for how long now? How long has it been since you've been out of America?
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
Two and a half weeks from the United States.
So, I mean, because my entire knowledge, and because your last day there, we can totally wrap it up this way. All of my knowledge of overseas correspondence and overseas news gathering, it all comes from, like, really melodramatic sort of noir films about Edward R. Murrow and the Blitz and you know, and again, the early days of, Desert Storm and all of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it... Are there amenities like that when you're over there covering a war? I mean, is it anything like a normal day job, or is it just constant? I mean, do you have any semblance of a routine? If you want to get a margarita somewhere over there, can you go do that?
You know, the hours are constant. So yeah, no time. I don't know what Israeli margaritas would taste like. So I've avoided them anyway. But even if I wanted one, there just isn't the time. You start early in the morning. You start at 6 a.m. East Coast time. Actually, I start around 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and then work till about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. East Coast time. Last night, I was here most of the night because we had some breaking news as Israel is pushing forth this expansion.
Sure.
Send more ground troops in. And so, yeah, a lot of long hours. That's the main issue here. But you know, we've got two new people rotating in, Nanette Sosa and Amanda Moyer. And you'll probably be talking to Nanette a lot. They are going to head up to Haifa this weekend. And when that happens, you'll get a better feel for what it's like to really be in a conflict zone. You know, as we know, I don't have the training. I haven't gone through the fake kidnapping yet. So I've been here in Damascus.
Well, in the future, you just let us know what you drink, and we'll just send a bottle of whatever that is to D.C. for you. So you can have that waiting when you get there. We talked about Israel because they've expanded, or have they expanded this ground campaign, or have they have just sort of approved the notion of doing so?
They've done both. They approved doing it about 16 hours ago. The Israeli cabinet had a much longer meeting than expected, then reversed themselves 2 days ago. The Israeli cabinet voted against this expansion. Now they are expanding. We're talking about 15,000 reservists, boots on the ground, as Donald Rumsfeld likes to say, heading into Lebanon. And Israel has said what they want to do is go all the way to the Litani River. Now, to give you an idea about that, that's 18 miles from the border. So it's sort of like going from Portland to Troutdale, I think, in Oregon. So that's how far Israel wants to go on this offensive. But it's a very tough offensive because Hezbollah has sharp teeth. They have been there for 6 years building bunkers. They've got thousands of missiles and thousands of fighters. And this could be a very serious, it could be a long conflict, but Israel says it wants 2 more weeks.
Hezbollah, so they're dug in and they're not, they are no one's idea of a pushover. But let's just take a moment to salute your reference of Portland to Troutdale. Did you prepare that specifically for this call, or did that just roll out of your head?
No, absolutely. Are you kidding? I went on the internet, tried to figure out what was about that distance. You know, and Nanette Sosa sitting next to me said she loves Troutdale. She's been there before.
It's just like southern Lebanon.
It's exactly, yes.
I think perhaps...
Fewer strip clubs.
But more trout, apparently, than in southern Lebanon.
Okay. all right, then. Well, maybe, just as a final observation, maybe you can just convey this message. Just tell Israel that if they agree to sort of, you know, to minimize the civilian casualties, and if everybody can make nice, we will just deliver Mel Gibson to them in a box. We will just wrap up Mel Gibson and send him over, and Israel can do what they wish with him. And we'll just call it, that'll be our prize. That'll be our inducement, the carrot on a stick to Israel. We will just give them Mel Gibson.
They just got rid of Macaulay Culkin over here, and you want me to entice them with Mel Gibson?
I realize it's maybe not an equitable swap, but what are you going to do? I'm working with what I have. All right, well, have a safe trip, Lisa. We will talk to you. I know you come back taking some time off, but we will talk to you when you are next on the job. So have a safe flight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Outstanding. Take care, guys.
There you go. Live from Disneyland, Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent.
Maybe she'll pick up something at the gift shop for you.
Did you hear that final giggle there?
Uh-huh. I did as you cut her off.
I didn't. She hung up.
That was topical and witty.
She giggled and then she hung up. Right. But let's acknowledge the Portland to Troutdale reference.
What about it?
Your little.
But it was great.
Your little visits mean something to her.
All right, fine. I'm picking up on your picking up on your sarcasm. Sarah's cranky. All right.
You're projecting.
I'm not projecting. I'm dandy. And so forth. All right. I know we're late. You're just angry that we're running so late.
Heath Ledger is the new Joker.
Oh, see, don't even start with that. Why do you got to do that to me? I was feeling good. All right, back after this. Here's Wednesday 13. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. I mean, that's got to be the worst gig on earth. That's why I don't do it. Man, every DJ does that, too. You do it for about 6 months, and at that point, you're like, there's not enough money in the world. Like, why am I here? All right, it's 503-733-2970. If you don't hate people, DJing weddings, doing that kind of gig, that won't make you hate people.
And I thought my family was horrible.
All right. It's... And they always just want to hear the worst crap you could possibly imagine, too. And it's like a bad... Like, if I was to ask you to list, like, the worst, most obvious, most cliche songs that people would want to hear at a wedding, and then if I was to put it up... We should have you do this, actually. I should have you list, like, the first 10 terrible songs that come to mind in terms of what, like, lame white people want to hear at a wedding, and have you, like, write it down and seal it. And then I'll have Scotty do what people actually do want to hear, list the songs he gets requested the most. I will guarantee you there'll be like a 60% overlap. People are just as dumb and obvious as you think. It's just, I can't even tell you. And of course, I was a little bit different in that I was doing this. God, when was I DJing weddings? We're talking about this because we'll get to Scotty here in a second. He's on the line from downtown. When was I DJing? It was like 92? 93? I mean, it was just, and all I remember is having to play You Can't Touch This all the time, man. And multiple times a wedding. And, of course, because they're paying you, you feel obliged to do it. You feel like, and you don't feel like there's any way you can say no or decline it. So some, and it's always like either the bride or the bride's fat best friend who will sort of waddle up and be like, can you play that Busta Move again? Thank you. And then they waddle off and it's like, it's fine, you know. And, of course, because they're giving you like, and it's never for any appreciable amount of money either. It's always for like $125. And you're loading in like a JBL column speaker that weighs like 190 pounds. You just want to die.
All your CDs end up getting scratched.
Oh, man. And it, yeah.
You gouge the paint on your car.
And you're always driving an Escort. You're always driving a Ford Escort because you're an idiot radio person. And you're filling it with so much DJ equipment that your Escort is bottoming out on every parking bump, you know, like every speed bump on the way there.
If you add it up, each of these silly things costs at least $1,000 in damage to something.
Seriously. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. So Scotty J is downtown right now. He's, I believe, across the street from the Celebrity Centra. It is not the Celebrity Centra, the Scientology Celebrity is Centra. Hello, Scotty.
How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Good. There's a whole crowd of two people down here, and we're
fantastic.
Proud, and we want to see the baby.
Now, are you wearing...
That'll make them...
I'm wearing a sign, wearing a bullhorn. I've been told by the hotel to keep it down there because there's people still in the rack at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, apparently.
Now, this is... Now, what hotel are you by?
I'm not sure if this is the Hilton. I forget what this hotel is.
Can't you look?
Something. I mean, it's...
They're usually labeled. There's often signs on a hotel so that people who are driving along the street don't just have to stop at every building and ask.
Right. Well, let's walk down to the end of the street here.
This is gripping radio.
We'll see exactly what hotel it is in the corner of Salmon and Broadway. It's the Heathman Hotel.
Oh, is that where they make those people wear the...
Our P1 listeners, just
that,
let
that
us know
that.
That
was the original studio site for this radio station in the 1920s.
Is the Heathman where everybody has to wear those the Prince Albert in a can outfits? You know what I'm talking about, where they got to wear the thing, it looks like they're wearing crepe paper around their neck? You know what I'm talking about? Is it, does anybody?
No, like the Towers of London.
Yeah, exactly. Is that that hotel? There's There's that one hotel downtown, and I think it's the Heathman, where, like, the guys who work at the front, they got to wear like the full on, like, hello, it's 1650, and I work for Queen Victoria outfit. Well, whatever. All right.
Ready for a chant? I'm going to do a couple chants for you.
All right. So you have prepared chants. Now you are wearing the sandwich board. The sandwich board on one side. On one side is a picture of Cuba Gooding Jr.
This is the back side. That would be the back side.
Okay. The back side has Cuba Gooding Jr. and it is a fantastic photograph of him. And it says in huge fluorescent green letters, made by Sarah Dillon, "Show me the baby." And then the front side says what?
The front side says, we want the news. Show us Surrey Cruz.
The best part is I can tell he's looking down and trying to read it upside down. All right, and then you were holding your sign, which is double-sided. One side says Free Katy. The other sign is the Leah Remini.
I actually have a listener here that told me that.
Okay. And so what does the other side say?
The back side, the other side of that one, this one's the one that says Free Katy on one side, and then the other side it says, Leah says it's regulation. Show the baby to the nation.
Retarded. All right. Well, let's hear some chanting.
All right, here we go.
I think he has to put the sign
down. Time out. Here we go.
All right.
It's not fair. We all lose. Please show us, little baby Cruz.
This is retarded.
Everybody repeat after me. It's not fair. We all lose. Please show us, little Surrey Cruz.
Did he create these chants himself?
Yes. I gave him some ones.
I'm going to make them up as I go along. Got another one for you.
Did you take the chants that I gave you, Scotty?
Did you let
I do. I'm trying to hold the phone, hold the chant, hold the megaphone, carry my sign that's falling off my shoulders, and look at the cameraman at the same time. It's awesome.
Well, at least you're not being paid for it. All right. Okay. Well, let's hear another chant.
Okay, this is a real simple one. Everybody all right. Follow along
everybody
with me on this one.
All right.
Can't you see we're in a hurry? I want to see baby Surrey.
I'm so ashamed of the way we make a living. This is retarded.
He's having fun.
We really ought to bottle this up and just sell this to another radio show. That's as we wade hip deep into this, I really realize what a terrible stuff this is.
Okay, I got one more for you.
Okay.
Please aim the bullhorn at an open hotel window.
Okay, here you go. Open hotel room.
It's time for them to get up anyway.
Daddy J, he does say, Rick must see Surrey today.
Thank you. Okay. Hold on. We're going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Hello, Brad?
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm standing on the street here. Scotty's kind of crashing and burning a little bit.
Yeah, he was so terrified to go down there today. Literally, he was just bathed in a thin sheen of sweat. Because
I got a court jester coming up to me from the hotel telling us about how we're waking up guests and...
Ask him, are you there? Ask him who is still asleep at 1 p.m. and don't you think it's really time for them to get up?
He has retreated back into the building because we were pointing at him a little bit.
Maybe it's Courtney Love.
Yeah, seriously. All right.
We also riled up some guy in a suit inside the building. He was out here talking loudly on his cell phone. He went back inside. The Scientology building, I mean.
Well, that's what he gets for trying to talk on a cell phone loudly. Everybody hates those guys. Talk in a normal volume. All right.
You should send Scotty J through Pioneer Square. See if you can round up some followers.
What is he chanting in the background?
I didn't hear that one.
All right. Wait, let's wait till you hear another one. All right, okay. All right, I'll tell you, we'll put you on a... We'll go back there. It's 503-733-2... 970. Kristen Bowie, who is in here filling in for Scotty J today, has noted, if you go to Mount Hood Community College, you too can go shout things about celebrity babies. There you go. The best part is that Scott... Now, Kristen, this is a too personal a question, then you let me know, but if I can ask how much it costs, and if you don't want to answer this, I understand, but can I ask how much it costs as a general rule to go through Mount Hood Community College to take this broadcasting course that Scotty is here in aid of? Could you give me some sort of a rough estimate? Oh my God, are you serious? Sarah, how much would you think it is? Don't look at the screen. How much would you guess it cost? Let me ask you this way. How much do you think Scotty J has paid to take this broadcasting course, which is now culminating in him downtown wearing a sandwich board? Really? Okay, so but how many years is that, Kristen? Is it two? 2 year. It's a 2 year course.
How do they find enough stuff for 2 years?
I can't even imagine.
I'd say 25.
25 grand?
Yeah.
No, see, no, you're way too high. It's seven. But still, That's still $7,000. That you're not going to make $7,000 in 2 years, you know, with that. So
you'll look even after 30.
All right, Scotty?
Yes.
All right.
Scotty,
there's another listener. There's a total of four of us now. This is awesome. Sir, do you want to join the protest with us?
This is what it's going to...
We're protesting that we
are demanding the Cruise baby.
We demand to see Suri, Tom Cruise's baby.
We are demanding the Cruise baby.
We are demanding the Cruise baby. So, sir, will you join us, please?
I might get a sandwich first.
Okay, get a sandwich. And then I'll do some
transition. I might get a sandwich.
Back after me. How's that sound?
We could start a riot.
Start a riot.
This is for leisurely. No.
This is for entertainment purposes.
That, sir. Yes, this is entertainment purposes, and I'm now talking to myself again, so you will have to go get a sandwich, apparently.
Clearly, this is a cause that everybody is taking to heart.
There's a bus here. I can chant it to the bus.
Chant it to the bus.
Yes.
I gotta come up with a good one.
Okay, how about this? How about this?
We want a jury crew photo.
I didn't catch the last part of that.
Uh-oh.
It's not fair. We all lose. Please show us, baby Chris.
He has latched onto that one.
Follow this.
How you doing, TriMet? We love you.
Nobody loves TriMet.
Scotty hates TriMet.
Hey, you know, that's my biggest pack of fans in one place at one time, right there on the bus.
Your fans. Are those some of your much, much ballyhooed peeps?
There goes my peeps on the...
All
whole
right.
Bus is gone.
Okay. All right. We'll check back with you here in a short while. Thank you, Scotty.
Okay, because we're going to wrap it up here in just a little bit for you.
No, you got another hour.
No. You'll wrap it up.
I don't think so.
You'll wrap it up when we say you wrap it up. All right. We'll check back with you. Thank you, Scotty.
All right. Bye.
All right. There you go.
He's got to stay because in the time we've been talking to him, his partners have multiplied.
Seriously. By the way, you are correct. The Heathman is the hotel where the doorman must wear the classic Beefeater uniform.
That's what I thought.
As worn by the Tower of London guards. So there you go. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, listen to this. They have all these new underground Portland tours now. You can find scandals from body brothels, gambling rings, murders, mischief, and police payoffs.
Now, can I just say
I've been to the Shanghai Tunnel thing before, but this is something new.
No, the fantastic thing about this is that this Scotty J business that's happening right now, this is like this is exactly the sort of stuff that you do in radio.
It's community involvement,
but that like you can never put on your demo reel anywhere. Like what else? What was that? Hold on, let me find.
What's a demo reel?
Wait, hold on.
You motherfucker. I'm going to f*** you.
This is Scotty yesterday recreating the Mel Gibson arrest cuts for us.
The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Are you a Jew?
See, and that guy Paul at Mount Hood Community College who sent Scotty here wants to hear a progress reel. And the problem is about 98% of the things that we have Scotty do can never be revealed to him in any way. All right. Well, let's do a couple more stories here, then we'll take a break.
Federal judges struck down Minnesota's new video game law just before it was supposed to take effect today. Now, this law would fine children $25 if they bought or rented a game meant for adults. State Senator Sandy Pappas says they can't believe Minnesotans are unable to protect their children. Cut number four.
The kids actually point the gun and kill the cop and get points for raping women.
Jesus.
No, I'm just... Is this... You know, I'm speechless at... that we can't protect our children.
What game is this, and where can I buy it?
It doesn't say.
Is this... Hello?
Some Minnesota game.
No, I'm only asking... Sarah's giving me the look. I'm only asking because that sounds like one of those made-up things.
Mm-hmm.
Like she had me...
I don't think she really understands. It's probably that...
You had me until the raping. Let's hear that again. I'm pretty sure she claims...
The kids actually point the gun and kill the cop and get points for raping women. I mean, just... I'm speechless at that we can't protect our children.
Maybe she shops for video games at a different place than I do. But I'm pretty sure she's making that part up. The killing the cops, that's like a Grand Theft Auto thing, though. I think there's some cop killing that goes on in the Grand Theft Auto. I'm pretty sure I've never seen the get points for the raping in any game. But, you know, what do I know? I'm not a learned man.
Well, it's payback time. ABC has pulled Mel Gibson's Holocaust miniseries.
This is, okay, let's talk about this for a second. This Mel Gibson story, first of all, we had it yesterday that he's entered rehab, right?
Yes.
And then last night around, I don't know, 11:30 or so, I got a, the problem with having this new phone is that I'm just getting email and text stuff all night because now people know that I can receive stuff 24 hours a day. So Joni, though, emailed me this Mel Gibson story with a note to the effect that it's great and just weird on so many levels that ABC, first of all, the idea that Mel Gibson even would have been put in charge of making a Holocaust drama in the first place is a little strange. Mm-hmm. But so now they've pulled this, right? Is it already done or they've just pulled the production of it?
Let's see here. ABC's movie studio arm still plans to release Gibson's self-financed. Oh, so maybe his own money's behind this. It doesn't really elaborate on who paid for this. So that's that.
All right. Well, there's that. And then he's in rehab. And then that mugshot came out. And the lesson of Tom DeLay is that you need to smile and grin like a lunatic in all of your mugshots. Because Rush Limbaugh's mugshot was exactly the same way. That's the whole thing. The whole tip now with mugshots is just to try to look as pleasant as possible and to make it. Here's the thing that I'm unclear about, though, in some mugshots. Have you noticed this? That with Tom DeLay and Rush Limbaugh and Mel Gibson, didn't it used to be that you could always, because here's the thing, if you've seen those photographs, they don't even really look like mugshots.
They're taking that Sears.
You need a little cloud, a little cloud background to be holding some baby on your knee. Where the guy's like by the camera waving a puppet to distract your idiot child while they photograph you. It used to be that you could always spot a mugshot because he just looked all terrible. Like, he looked like Nick Nolte. He's the definitive, and Mitchell Bickford, the definitive bad mugshots. But like the Mel Gibson one, and especially the Tom DeLay one when he got busted earlier this year, if you did not know it was a mugshot, you wouldn't know because they're all cleaned up and they're smiling, whatever. But didn't it used to be that when you got your mugshot taken, you had to hold a little placard that had your name and your identifying characteristics on it, and then you had like the thing behind you that, like the height mark was like 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, whatever. Yeah. So I don't know whether that's a thing that, like, the publicists are cropping out before they release the photo to the press, or whether that has to do with like different states have your mugshot. Maybe the thing of holding your name on the little black slate in front of you is like a thing from the past. Maybe that's outdated. If anybody's had their mugshot taken recently, call us and let us know. Because it was that thing where you did that and then you turned and they took the profile shot of you that we've all seen like a billion times. So maybe that's not real. Rick, about video games, it's either Grand Theft Auto or the upcoming game Reservoir Dogs. They are making Reservoir Dogs into a video game, FYI. All right, that's Tony McCoof. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Steve Whitmore of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department says officers have not tried to cover up what took place with Melvin Gibson. The actor has exhibited strong support for the Sheriff's Department in the past, including an infomercial in which he dresses up like an officer and asks the public to support the department. Number five.
Does that relationship lead to favoritism? The answer is no. Does that relationship lead to sanitization of a report? Absolutely not.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
That never gets old. That's like the Britney sounder. That Britney opened that Scott made.
Scotty did such a good job on those.
All good things come from Scotty J recently. Oh, here's some clarification on the video game. Okay, Rick, it is, now listen, it's half true, half not true. Rick, it's Grand Theft Auto. You don't actually, an important clarification and distinction that we are making here. You don't actually get to rape the characters, but you do get to bang hookers. It doesn't give you points, but it replenishes your life force. What's better? You can kill them afterward with a chainsaw and get all your money back. There you go.
I guess that's just being thrifty to some people.
Well, there's no waste not, want not. This is part of our For the Children segment. All right. So there you go. Remember, kids, that if you're bigger than the hooker, you can get your 50 back afterward. Alex, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What is up, Alex?
I was calling about the mugshot.
Yes, of course.
I got a mugshot taken about a summer ago.
Now, can you tell us for what?
I was riding my bike around drunk with a Genghis Khan hat on. Yeah, I was trying to get into this port-a-pot on the side of the road, and a cop stopped while I was riding. I was going on the door. It was at a construction site.
Let's take this business one at a time. So, you're on a bicycle drunk.
Yes.
Now, were you on your way home from a party?
I don't
I was over at a friend's house and everybody was going to bed, so I just decided I was going to head home.
You're like, screw it, I'm out of here. Okay, why were you wearing a Genghis Khan hat? A Genghis Khan. And what is that really?
No idea.
Of course. I was really, and what does a Genghis Khan hat even look like? Is that like Genghis Khan, like he was wearing in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Well, yeah, sort of. It's like, it's kind of like a bucket hat, like if you folded the sides up.
Okay.
And,
no, I know what you're talking about.
All over it.
All right. And so then you were trying to get into a porta potty and it was locked?
Yeah, I was at a construction site.
All right. And so what then caused you to be arrested?
I was drunk in public. I was a minor in possession of alcohol by consumption.
Yes.
And all kinds of stuff. I don't know.
And so, but I mean, were they alerted to your presence by the fact that you were, like, banging on the door or something?
No, he just kind of turned down the street, and I was right there. And,
and you couldn't be missed, what with your huge head and all.
Yeah, with my Genghis Khan hat on.
Yep. So what about the mugshot?
They just take it with a digital camera. They put you up, like, against, like, a wall or in a doorway or something. There was people walking around, and it's not like you'd think it would be. No.
But you didn't have to hold up the little thing with your name on it or anything?
No, nothing like that. I was sort of disappointed. I asked for a retake, though, because I just like the one they took the first time.
You were blinking.
It wasn't very flattering.
No, you know, it wasn't flattering at all.
They didn't get
we can't have that.
Just get the right side. All right. Yeah. All right, Alex, thank you. Have you stayed on the straight and narrow since then, sir?
Yes, absolutely.
God bless you. All right, do you still have the Genghis Khan hat?
Yeah, totally. You
bring it to the next listener party. We want to see it.
All right.
Thank you, Alex.
Now
all right,
there
you go.
The restroom before he pedals off on his
bike. All right, yes. All right, we'll put that. We ought to create some sort of a mobile Emerson museum. We'll have the placenta, the little cable box that made the mystery noise, Genghis Khan hat. All right, we're going to take a break because Sarah's going to punch me in the face if we don't. We come back. Scott Daly is on I-5 with a Jim Roop moment. And if you're a constant listener, you know what that means. Boba Fett is there with Scotty. Michael's got another mugshot comment. And we got your phone calls coming up. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten going to talk about the 25th anniversary of MTV. Week in Geek, Peter Carlin, all that is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's true. Because there's nothing else to do.